When government confiscates preschoolers' lunches, bans private food vendors from school grounds, and funds 5 meals per day at local elementary schools, we simply must ask, should parents be allowed to feed their children?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 767th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends down there in Nandi who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Easton Allen on the boards. Hello, Easton.
Hello, Michael.
Folks, as a young hunter growing up in Montana, I was taught to recognize signs of prey, you know, deer, things like that, and to read those signs and then to project and to use that information from the signs to project where the prey might be headed, into which thicket it might be hiding. You know, where is the food gone? Later in life, as a journalist working out of California, I was taught to recognize the signs of a story, to read the signs of that story, and then to use the information obtained from those signs to project where that story might be headed. I'm now going to list some signs of a story currently in the news and then invite you to join with me to project where this story might be headed down the road. So please listen carefully to the signs. First sign. First Lady Michelle Obama holds up childhood obesity as a national crisis and launches a campaign to provide a healthier school lunches for children. Second sign. A government lunch inspector confiscates a preschooler's turkey and cheese sandwich and forces that child to eat chicken nuggets. Third sign. A California politician seeks to ban private food vendors from getting closer than 1/4 mile from schools. Fourth sign. The federal government now funds 5 meals per day for school children at local elementary schools. 5 meals a day. Now, consider those four signs and kind of look down the road to where they might be taking us. What do the signs tell us about this particular story of school lunches? Where is all of this going to take us? They kind of, if you think about it for just a moment, they leave you with some very interesting questions. For example, is the childhood obesity crisis too good to go to waste? I mean, that is the theme of the government, you know. Never let a serious crisis go to waste. So is this childhood obesity crisis something that should not go to waste? Second question, should parents be allowed to feed their children? Now, I can't say that I ever thought I'd be asking that question. Growing up, I mean, here sitting here on the radio talking about the food chain, the national food chain, should parents be allowed to feed their children? Well, clearly, parents are responsible for childhood obesity, right? Who else would be responsible? And since parents are responsible for this childhood obesity, and since, by the way, we're feeding children 5 meals a day at school, well, should we not get rid of parents? That's the question. And then the final question we'll lay on the table today. Who will feed the children should our government go bankrupt? Now, of course, none of us think our government is going to go bankrupt in spite of the fact that it's trillions of dollars in the hole and going trillions more dollars in the hole every year. But it can't happen to us, can it, like it happened in Greece? But what if it did? What if our government did go belly up? And who then would feed all those children? What would happen to them? These are just some of the questions that I am led to ask in looking at the signs of the story now in the news about school lunches. You know, to help us answer those questions, I was going to have Chef Jamie Smith, who's a director of city schools, but Chef Jamie had to leave town. So really, it's just you and I today to come to grips with these questions. I have no guest except you, which is, of course, you are the most important guest of all anyway. So here we go. The way you can participate in this program today and help me come to grips with these questions is by picking up your phone and calling 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. That's how you get to us live on the air and become part of the show. Another way is by emailing me at foodchainradio@gmail.com. That's foodchainradio@gmail.com. And then if you're listening to this program later on a delayed basis on your from your favorite radio station or on a digital device of your choice, and you would like to participate, you can still do so by going to the forums at metrofarm.com. It's the forums at metrofarm.com. So that's how you can join me today, and we'll come to grips with these questions and with these problems. And like I said, as a young hunter growing up in Montana, I was taught to read signs. And as a journalist, essentially trained by a guy named David Brinkley, I was taught to do the same thing. I was taught to sit down with the daily newspaper and look at the stories that are floating by and say, well, what does this really mean? Where is this story going to go? Is there anything behind it that's interesting? And you know, if there was something behind it, then bring it to me, David Brinkley would say, and we'll make a story out of it. And that's what we used to do, and that's what we're doing today. Because this whole situation of feeding the children, of the government feeding the children, is very interesting. So the questions today, excuse me, should parents be allowed to feed their children? What do you think? Is the childhood obesity crisis too good to go to waste? Is it? And finally, who will feed the children should our government ever go bankrupt? If we take the job of feeding our children away from parents, and ladies and gentlemen, when we feed our children five meals a day at public schools, is that not what we're doing? Taking the job of feeding our children away from parents? If we take that job away from parents and give it to the government, and the children become dependent upon government to be fed, what will happen to those children should the government ever go belly up? The phone numbers today are 831-479-1080. It's 479-1080. We hope you'll join us. I'm going to go to the phones right now and see where all of this takes us. Mickey, are you there?
Here.
Oh, good. Thank you for joining us. And thank you, Easton, for pressing the right button for me here. Go ahead, Mickey. What do you think today about all of this situation with respect to turning over the feeding of our children to the government?
Well, I have a quick question, and then I'll take my answer off of the air. Is
okay.
That how you do it? Okay.
But you can't leave me because I have no guest. You're my guest, Nikki.
I will not leave you, I promise.
All right.
My question is, now, I don't have any children in school, so my tax dollars are going to be feeding other children?
That's right. Well, essentially, as I see this, looking down the road, what we appear to be doing is assuming that the problem with childhood obesity is parents feeding children bad food. So what we're doing is entrusting the government to feed our children the right food. Now, what that means, of course, is that we're taking the job out of the pocketbook of the parents and giving it to the government. And Mickey, who's the government?
I don't know what you
mean. I think that would be Mickey, wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah, my tax dollars. And I thought we had a budget problem.
Well, we don't have a budget.
We don't have a budget. So why are they adding this new feeding the children's item? Doesn't that take money?
Lots of money.
So it doesn't make sense.
Well, Mickey, we're going to have to take a quick break. Do you want to hang with us, or do you want to leave your question hanging there in space for somebody else to answer?
We'll leave it in space for today.
Thank you for calling me. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael.
You bet. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson here. Today we're wondering about food lunches. 831-479-1080. Teresa's on the line. Right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, folks, we have a serious crisis on our hands. Our children are eating themselves into obesity. Oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? We must do something because we never want to let a serious crisis go to waste. And so what we are doing now is having a government taking over feeding our children. How do we know? Because we look at the signs in the news and we kind of project our way along those signs and see where they take us. And the signs are really quite obvious if you think about it. The First Lady declares a food safety crisis. We must do something for our school lunches. Boy, the government inspectors confiscating children's school lunches. We have California politicians trying to pass laws preventing private food vendors from coming closer than a quarter mile from schools. We have the federal government funding 5 meals a day in local schools. So if we turn over all of this feeding of our children to the government, what will happen if the government no longer can afford to feed our children? What happens if our government goes belly up? What happens if the trillions of dollars that our government owes finally comes due and there's no longer any money? Who will then feed our children? Those are the questions we have on the table today, and our guest today was unable to make it. I can't say as I blame him. Being the director of a city school food system, I wouldn't want to show up for this one either, I guess. But that leaves you and I, 831-479-1080. We have Teresa on the line, who we're going to pick up in a moment, because nobody raises hell better than Teresa. So before we do that, I'd like to talk with you about the federal government inspector that confiscated a preschooler's lunch. Now, the inspector looked into the lunch and saw a turkey and cheese sandwich and said, "You can't eat that. You must eat the government-approved chicken nuggets." So here's a food breakdown of a turkey sandwich compared with a chicken nugget. First of all, in calories, the turkey sandwich has 303 calories. The chicken nuggets only 250. So less calories in the chicken nuggets. But wait, look at this. In fat, there are 14 grams of fat in a turkey sandwich and 16 grams of fat in the chicken nuggets. But here's the real interesting one. In terms of protein, the turkey sandwich has 19 grams of protein, energy to hold that child through the day, whereas the chicken nuggets only 11 grams, almost half as much protein in the chicken nuggets as in the turkey sandwich. And yet the federal government confiscated it, took it away, and forced that child to eat chicken nuggets. So where is all of this taking? Oh, my goodness. We're going to ask our friends here. Let's see, make sure if I do this right.
Michael?
Yes, bingo.
Yay.
Thank you, Richard, and thank you, Easton. We have this brand new console here, and I'm still learning all the buttons. Some buttons take you one place, and some buttons take you the other place, and sometimes the buttons don't take you anywhere at all, which is where I found myself right there. Teresa, what do you think about school lunches? Now, you, I know, are in the process of developing a food sovereignty movement for your community.
Exactly.
So that would lead me to suspect that you would be highly suspicious of turning over the feeding of our children to the federal government.
Well, there's two different sovereignty movements, well, several, but two in particular that you're hitting on, which is also educational sovereignty. We don't trust parents to feed their children, and we don't trust parents to educate their children, which means that not only are the parents not feeding the children, but the children are not learning how to feed themselves. As you know, I have three daughters, and trying to make time where they can even do chores around the house, you know, to be part of the process of preparing food and having meals and washing dishes and cleaning the house, it's hard to do that as a parent because you're competing, your kids are competing with other kids who are doing everything they can to get into colleges and get scholarships and be on sports teams. And so you have to be a very self-confident parent in order to say, no, I'm going to risk it that my kids are going to turn out okay if I teach them how to be a good member of the family who's really...
Wasn't that the job? I mean, typically, going back through history, was that not the job of parents?
Absolutely. And, you know, when the educational system first started, what's called mandatory education, they had to get kids to go to school at gunpoint because parents didn't want them to go and the kids didn't want to go. They didn't want to go be cloistered with all these kids who are exactly their same age and taken out of the life of the family. They wanted to be doing productive things. So we've kind of gotten ourselves into this box, and I'll tell you how far it's gone now. My sister-in-law lives in L.A., and for her first grader, she couldn't make homemade cookies or cupcakes for a birthday party. The rule in school is that you have to bring store-bought, only store-bought, because that's the only thing that can be trusted. You cannot be trusted to bring any kind of homemade treat to give to the class for some kind of celebration.
Where did this distrust of parents come in?
Well, I mean,
is it because of this childhood obesity crisis? Have we as a nation decided to look at this childhood obesity crisis and say, well, obviously it's the fault of parents, and therefore we should just get rid of parents?
Well, I think that it's more insidious than that, and that the obesity is more the effect than the cause. I think that centralization and that distrust of parents has been turning all of our society towards serving corporate profits rather than serving the interest of the community.
So with respect to the cupcakes, mm-hmm. the cupcake manufacturer goes to Washington, D.C. and lays a bunch of money on the lobbyist, who then goes to the congressperson and says, cupcakes are dangerous.
Well,
we must take charge of cupcakes, and therefore we must pass a law against homemade cupcakes. Is that kind of what you're saying?
I think it's a more mastermind scheme than that. What you do is you just have lawsuits. You have lawsuits every time someone brings in some, you know, allergenic thing that somebody has a reaction to, and therefore the schools cannot afford to take any risks. And parents, people are risky. You know, life is messy.
So all of this points to, in my way of thinking, and of course, I could be totally wrong here, but all of this points to that there's only one kind of food that will, in the end, be safe enough to eat.
Sterilized, processed.
Soy. And if you look at this, well, all of the information coming out of the government's safe school lunch foods, every source of protein has an asterisk next to it, except for processed soy. And there are no thoughts that you should give to eating processed soy. It's completely safe.
And you bring up another great point, which is about the money and what's going to happen when the money goes away from this centralized government, which is it's a very real thing. If the dollar inflates even by 10%, then all of these corporations are going to start selling to Europe rather than here.
And then who's going to feed us?
And then who's going to feed us? Because we have not been teaching our kids how to grow food or how to cook food.
Can you stick with us?
And how to eat food. Sure.
All right, folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about school lunches. No, we're not. We're not talking about school lunches. We're talking about parents feeding their children. What on earth happened to the notion that parents should be responsible for feeding their children? This is the Food Chain. The guest today is you. 831-479-1080, 831-479-1080. Pick up your phone and join us. We will be right back. Well, folks, it would appear that we have a very serious crisis on our hands, and we must do something about it because we never want to let a serious crisis go to waste. That crisis, childhood obesity. Here are the signs we have that there are actions afoot. First Lady holds up childhood obesity as a national crisis, launches a campaign to provide healthier school lunches. Second sign, a government lunch inspector confiscates a preschooler's turkey and cheese sandwich and forces that child to eat chicken nuggets. Third sign, a California politician seeks to ban private food vendors from getting closer than 1/4 mile from public schools. And fourth sign, the federal government now funds 5 meals per day for children at local elementary schools. So, in considering these signs and looking down the road to where they're taking us, we wonder, is the childhood obesity crisis really so serious that we simply don't want it to go to waste? Should parents be allowed to feed their children? It doesn't seem so anymore. It seems like we're taking that job away by feeding children 5 meals a day at the local schools. And hey, who's going to feed the children should our government ever go bankrupt? You know what, Congressman Paul Ryan said that we are headed, and this is a quote, we are headed for the most predictable economic crisis in history. So when that crisis does finally come, who's going to feed their children if we have turned that responsibility over to the federal government? That's the subject today, and you are the guest. 831-479-1080 or foodchainradio@gmail.com. We have Teresa on the line. We also have Ron in Carl.
Good morning.
Well, welcome to the Food Chain. Pleasure to have you aboard.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me speak. I am a full-time worker. My wife is a full-time worker, and what I developed over the years was a simple, policy and agreement within the family, and that is that my wife prepares or has assigned to her 3 days a week the dinner, and I have assigned to me 3 days a week the dinner for the family. And on that last day, the seventh day, we turned it over to our daughters.
Wow.
So it's a reverse. You've got the children feeding the parents.
Way to go.
And I'm telling you, the very first meal that we ever had from our daughters, and this is like they weren't in middle school yet. They were like in grade school, maybe third, fourth grade. They baked chicken breast for us. They had a green. And for dessert, this was probably against the law right now, they went in the backyard and they pulled some mint out of our backyard and they cleaned it up. And then what they did was they melted chocolate on the mint and put it in the refrigerator. And then they removed the mint leaves from the chocolate, so it left the imprint of the mint leaves on the chocolate. And that was our desserts. So it was pretty inventive. So, I think what you got to do is you got to help teach the children what to make, and this is a way to test it to see what they know. And my problem with what you said this morning is if the government feeds our children through school, well, what happens when they graduate and get out of school if they don't know how to cook for themselves?
Well, exactly. What are we doing to parents, first of all, and then what are we doing to children? What do you think about the notion of the government taking over your responsibility to feed your children? I mean, and leaving you what? What does that make you?
When I was a kid, I would walk home for lunch, and the house was a mile away from the school. And then, of course, I'd walk back to school after lunch, and then I would walk to and from school.
So much for excess calories.
So I would do 4 miles a day, and this was in Chicago, and you would get exercise. And then once you went to high school, you did have gym, and I think exercise, and I still exercise 5 days a week. That's part of life, and you get the physical exercise in with the food. I think that's lacking. I think the gym classes are lacking at this point for a lot of our children. And I think education regarding, you know, what's good to eat is also an element that goes in. But I think the government should basically butt out and leave the liberty with us to try to teach our children and have our children teach us what's good to eat.
Ron, thank you for a wonderful call. But beyond that, thank you for being a responsible parent.
Oh, we had fun.
Your children are very lucky, very fortunate. Thank you very much. Let's go now to Millie. There you go. Millie, are you there?
Yes.
Welcome to the food chain.
Oh, thank you. I have three items I would like to cover. The first one, which I hope we won't take up too much time with, I'm adamantly against these food carts. They most of them have terrible junk food, and if they're very close to the school, the children can run out and buy the junk food, which does appeal to them. Excuse me, I have to cough.
I'll press the cough button.
So this is a bad thing.
Okay.
If the carts are located half a mile away, of course, that's not going to happen. And people will say, oh, well, some of the carts have nutritious food. That may be true, but we cannot prove the rule by a few exceptions.
Okay, Millie's for banning private food vendors. Go ahead. What's your second point?
The next is listening to you, I get the impression that the 5 meals a day are already in force, or is this a hypothetical?
No, I believe it's true. I believe this is now going on at local schools.
Where is it going on?
Local schools.
Are you talking about Pajaro Valley
District? No, Santa Cruz County. But I believe it's happening around the country.
That's in Santa Cruz County.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's only for the children who get the free meal, the free vouchers or whatever, for their lunch. It used to just be lunch.
Well, fine. So what do you think about the notion of the government feeding our children 5 meals a day? You think that's a good thing?
Okay, this is where the parents come in.
Yeah.
I, being a former teacher and mother of three and observer on life, I'm now 87. I do believe that, in general, the parents are responsible for the children's obesity or lack of.
So it is a parent problem.
I go into a store. There's a high-quality independent store here. When observing the food carts that the parents, obvious parents, the children are with them, high-quality greens, vegetables, all kinds of fruits, high-quality fish, meats, etc., almost a total lack of chips and junk food. Then I'll go into a chain supermarket occasionally. I usually avoid it. And when I look at those carts, they're full of chips and various packaged junk food. White flour products.
No, you're getting to a very interesting point, but we have to take a break. Can I hold you over, Millie?
Yes,
because I'd really like to talk about this one. And Teresa, are you still there?
Yeah, and I'd love to chime in if I can.
Okay, so we're getting down to the gritty nitty on the food chain. Michael Olson, we have Teresa and Millie on the line, and you too can call in, participate, 831-479-1080. School lunches, parents, what the heck is going on? Right back. Welcome back. Michael Olson here. This is the Food Chain Radio. Today we're coming to grips with who should feed our children. Should it be the parents, who obviously are responsible for the obesity epidemic, or should it be the government, who has a way of feeding all of our children through the public schools? Some public schools are now feeding our children five times a day. Hey, you know, Ernest Hemingway had an interesting saying about bankruptcy. He said that there are two ways to go bankrupt. First is gradually, and then all of a sudden. So what would happen then if all of a sudden our government went bankrupt and was no longer able to afford all of the school children five meals a day? What on earth would happen to our children then after we have removed the onus of feeding them from the parents and the parents turn the parents loose out into the world to do whatever it is parents do when they're not parenting children? So what happens then? That's just some of the questions that I'm led to ask when I look at some of the signs in the news about the childhood obesity epidemic and the crisis therein. And so that's the question on the table today. And we're inviting your comments. We're at 831-479-1080. We have Millie on the line, and we have Teresa on the line, and we were getting right down to a very interesting conflict. Millie, go ahead.
I'm also adamantly against mandating parents cannot send their own food from their home. Anyone that takes the time and effort to make a meal, usually a lunch meal, usually is nutritionally knowledgeable.
Like the turkey and cheese sandwich that was confiscated by the federal inspectors.
Much better than the
chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets, which are notorious.
Or what about the pink slime? I really regret
out of Santa Cruz County now. So.
Okay, good. So you brought up a very interesting conflict with respect to parents. Those parents who do a good job and those parents who do not do a good job. And who should be responsible here?
Well, just so long as there's no mandate that the parents must have their children eat at school, it's okay, because in many cases, whatever it is they're getting at school is better than white flour tortillas, et cetera, and chips and all of that. Mm-hmm. But when you say five meals, some children are in school until 6 o'clock because they're in the after-school programs. So that, I think your audience should know,
sure,
that's why they're getting so many meals, is they're at school that long.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Now, clearly what you're saying, it appears to me, is that those parents who are responsible should be allowed to be responsible, and those parents who cannot be responsible for one reason or another, they should be, their job of feeding the children should be taken over by the government. Is that kind of where you're headed?
Well, in the case of children that are away from home for 12 hours or something, yes. I think that, I am emphasized that poor knowledge of nutrition, sometimes lack of funds, cause obesity, and the parents are responsible for it.
Okay.
Teresa,
your turn.
I live right by Santa Cruz High School, but between me and the high school is a gas station, and three times a day there is a line out the door because the majority of students in that high school eat at the gas station. Now, personally, I'd actually love to see some of the healthy food trucks that we have around Santa Cruz park, you know, and give that gas station some competition, because I think the food trucks can really be a great way of bringing that kind of nutritious food. There's someone who takes this issue on in a different way, Jamie Oliver. does a TED Talk where he looks at this obesity epidemic and links it to the processed food. And one of the things he says is that there should be food that's being made on site by the kids with locally grown ingredients that preferably the kids are growing some of themselves. And if that were the case, I'd actually prefer to see it where kids do have to eat on site, because then as a parent, I find it hard to pack a lunch that isn't just a sandwich and doesn't have to be heated, doesn't have to be kept cold. It would be much better for them to be actually preparing their own healthy meals on site and exposing the kids who maybe don't have that at home to what's...
to eating some real food. Hey, Mary, what do you think?
Oh, well, that's an ideal situation, and it'll take a while to install it, but of course that is ideal. But I think it would extend the lunch out by the long over an hour. But I would like to really see proof that there are healthy food trucks in the area.
Well, okay, thank you very much for that call. Millie, let's go to Mary. Mary, are you there?
Yes, hi, thank you.
I was
wondering about that. Okay. You know, I really completely disagree with the idea of kids being in school 12 hours a day.
Can you hold on for a minute? We have to take a hard break, but when we come back, we're going to pick up Mary and Gary and Teresa and you, 831-4792. Hey, what about this thing about government taking over the feeding of our children? What would happen if our government does go broke? I mean, it is like trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars in the hole. What would happen if people quit lending us money? Who would feed our children if we had come to rely on the government to feed our children five meals a day? What then? Do stay tuned. We will be right back for the conclusion of the Food Chain Radio program. Well, folks, should parents be allowed to feed their children? What do you think? Who will feed the children? Should our government go bankrupt? Government's feeding children five meals a day. Who would feed them five meals a day if the government goes bankrupt? All of these are questions that are raised when we look at the stories about school lunches in the news. And that's what we put on the table to chew over today. Mary, you have an objection to children spending 12 hours of school every day. Are you there? Well, I guess she was there. I don't know what happened to her. Mary, are you there? Well, Mary's not there, but Teresa's there, right? Nope. Oh, I got it. I got to push the button up. Now they're there.
Okay, I'm on now?
You're on now.
Okay, I didn't hear that familiar sound. Okay. Okay, I think where the story is taking us is it's clearly showing that the government wants control over our children. The fact that we have government schools and kids spending 12 hours a day in school, I mean, who is parenting our children? Obviously, that's a huge block of time away from the family. I think that where the story is taking us to is very clear in Section 444 of the health care bill. They have a paragraph in there that says that social workers will have the right to enter anyone's house without a warrant necessary who has children under the age of 5 to make sure that the place is child-friendly and sanitary, okay? So if you want to know where the government's going, they want to be our parents. They want to tell us how to live, how to eat, how to work, what we're supposed to give them, and, you know, we're just the ones that pay the funds so that they can keep their cushy jobs and do what they do, telling, you know, bossing us around, trying to...
What happens when the government goes bankrupt?
Well, that, I'm looking forward to that, honestly speaking, because then they won't have as much power over us. You know, it's ridiculous. That's why they are going to go bankrupt. You know, the social service system is a $40 billion a year industry. They take kids left and right, and they decide that, oh, we're your parents now. We'll put you in a foster home over here where supposedly they'll take better care of you. They don't care. They don't care about the children. They don't care what they eat. They don't care how well they're taken care of. You know, Senator Nancy Schaefer of Georgia died trying to just ask one point, that parents get a jury trial. A parent has more right to protect, you know, anything but their own children. And yet,
Mary,
what do we live for?
Mary, you're one feisty mom.
Well, you know, you got to be a bear in this world because, you know, some of us are she bears and some of us are sheep, and I'm not a sheep.
All right, Mary, thank you,
for that. Yeah, I really think that the food situation in the schools, if you've ever seen the school lunches, it's rubber cheese. I mean, they send out to round table pretty much once or twice a week for pizza. Pizza is like a non-food in my book. They know nothing about what is truly nutritional. You know, and then they should definitely have some healthy competition. I hope everybody chooses homeschooling. It's a much better choice for the future.
Thank you, Mary. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Gary. Now, I have to make sure and press the Gary button here. Gary, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good. Fire away.
Okay. Now, I have to agree with this last caller.
Okay.
What she say is true. Now, if I was the parent of whose child got inspected by the federal government, I would take that branch of that federal government, I'd take them down like what the Titanic did with 1,500 people, take them down, get this program off the shelves, off the books, period.
Gary, good luck to you. Really appreciate it. Teresa,
yes.
What should we do from here? Where do we go?
Your friend Joel Salatin has the solution to this. He has said, I have never felt as comfortable before with a political candidate as Ron Paul, because Ron Paul will decentralize the Department of Health, the Department of Education, and allow local economies.
There you are, out of time. Thank you all for tuning in. Remember, cheap food isn't.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.